Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Jay!
Go ahead, Key. I see you stepping now.
Hey, Jay, I don't think you should be the I don't think you should be the point guard. I'm not trying to have you lose your starting job, but I don't think you should be the point guard, you know?
Why not?
He's saying what Orlovsky said about McCarthy.
I just don't think you,
How can you keep your job?
I'll be laughing at everybody when they say stuff like that.
The hot takes.
Let me tell you something. The return of the Mac, the one dude who's back to run the show year after year, is not the head coach, it's Jerry Jones. That's the whole problem. But listen, I digress. The Cowboys were eliminated from the playoffs in the divisional round, so what do they do going forward? Let's spin it forward, as they say, in the business. We'll get to that. But first, Ed Werder was on SportsCenter and said he's never heard what McCarthy said yesterday following a playoff loss. Ed Werder said this in all his years covering the NFL and the Cowboys. Listen to Mike McCarthy at the post-game press conference.
I thought we were nervous to start the game. Felt it in the locker room at the team prayer. But I thought we fought through that okay. I mean, we held them to field goals, and I think once our guys settled in, I thought that, you know, it balanced out and the competitiveness there. But, you know, the up and down was a challenge. You know, the offense not getting into a rhythm. You know, I thought the defense played stronger in the second half, gave us a chance to stay in the game. And, you know, we needed to make a couple more plays on offense.
Right. Well, that wasn't the post game. I mean, technically, it was post game, but it was the end of season press conference that you just heard. I said they were nervous, and then later, Key, you know, said, let me take that back. Not nervous exactly, but
angst.
Which is worse than being nervous.
They were angst-ridden. Why were there – like, what angst are you feeling in that moment? You're feeling angst? You're in the playoffs.
Man. Yeah, you don't – I hate to say you don't understand, but you don't understand.
You understand. Man. No, it's – you always going to feel that.
It's a it's an interesting feeling. And it may not be all 53, right? It may only be a handful of guys that feel a certain way, and the mood may change within the locker room in terms of they may, you know, for the 17 games during the season, they probably was playing Biggie and Tupac. Now they get to the playoffs and ain't no music being played.
But
you feel me, Jay?
Yeah, Key, we're still on the same page here. And look, from firsthand experience, when people will start projecting you to win things at a massive level, like win a championship, when you're going through the regular season, you got time, right? So, like, when things don't always equate to the way you want, like, all right, but we still have time to fix it. Like, we're still going. When you get to a playoff scenario, when you get to any kind of one-and-done elimination tournament, it just feels different. And it takes a lot of years of experience to go into it, be like, yo, we'll be fine. But with that expectation, though, Key, my only thing was that you and I, Key, we know that occurs. Like, we know that happens because we've been there. I've just never heard a coach come out and kind of, like, say that, right? Like, well, we were nervous. Like, you can feel that, but you just don't see that to the media.
This is not Dak Prescott's first time in the playoffs. And
but it might not have been, but it probably
$40 million a year it is, though.
Okay, but
it might not have been Dak.
But the nervousness or anxiety is one thing. But angst, like a feeling of like some big negative thing is about to happen, right?
But they also...
That's a lack of leadership, and I don't think that's Dak Prescott.
But it might not be Dak, though, Max. It might be the left tackle. It might be the middle linebacker. It could be the guard. We don't know, and I'm sure the coach doesn't definitively know, but he has a pulse for his team and a feeling on how things feel. Everybody's not good at press conferences, right? Some coaches get up there and they don't say anything because they're just not good at it. Then Mike Tomlin, on the other hand, is really good at it. Bill Parcells, really good at it. Sean Payton, really good at it. Where Mike McCarthy might be a guy who just isn't good at the way that you want him to deliver it.
That's fair. Key,
and that's fair. And he is a championship-winning coach.
Question for you, Key. Have you ever spent time with Mike McCarthy?
I have never spent time with Mike McCarthy.
Okay, yeah. I was just curious because, you know, we may mention a pulse. And it almost feels like, to me, like a guy like and I know he's done some questionable things, but so the energy that coaches give off sometimes. Like, I wonder if Bruce Arians were the coach for the Cowboys? Like, how would that feel different? Because it just seems, Key, and this is just my perspective on it from the outside, not knowing Mike McCarthy. Does he exude superior confidence, right? Like, if I'm in a locker room and I sense that my team is nervous or experiencing angst during the team prayer, I am going to try to do something to say, listen, we are going to win this damn game. Like, look each other in the eye. There's something to be said about getting your players to believe in each other, mm-hmm. Making them feel that you are superiorly confident in what they are. And I don't know if that's Mike McCarthy.
He started catching on when during the prayer they were like, please, let us get a better coach.
But no, also,
did they say that? Yes.
I'm just curious. I don't know.
You also got to realize, too, sometimes veteran players that have experience or no experience but have a certain snack, crackle, pop cachet to them could feel the pulse of a team as well.
Fair.
My first playoff as a New York Jet, first playoff experience ever was against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And obviously I lit it up, but I wasn't nervous. I made sure that, you know, at the end of the day, I'm like, I'm getting ready to get everybody. We getting ready to be loose. I don't care. I'm young. I'm wild. I can give two you-know-whats about what people think, and it loosens your team up. And you got other players that are veteran guys that have been in playoffs and battles before. The Cowboys may have had a few guys that's been on teams that have appeared in playoff games, but not with this type of pressure on their head.
So, Mike McCarthy addressed his job security. I want you to listen, Key, and I want to spin this forward afterward. Okay, first listen to McCarthy.
Yeah, I don't put a lot into it because I know what I personally put into this. You know, I understand what goes on here every day. I know how to win. I know how to win in this league. I know how to win playoff games. I know how to win a championship. So I have great confidence in that. What we've built here in two seasons, I feel very good about. And I think with that, you stay true to that.
Okay, so he thinks his job is secure. Stephen Jones, Jeff, everyone's saying his job is secure. So what do they do next year to get better? I don't want to say fix. That's a trigger word for Key. Key will be like, well, what do you mean fix? So Key,
how do you know what I was saying?
Oh, I know you very well. How do you take the next step as the Cowboys going forward? How do they avoid getting knocked out in the first round of the playoffs?
Well, one, they've got to self-evaluate. What that means, Max, is they need to go and look at why they got bounced out of the playoffs, right? The penalties. They got to figure out, okay, how can we clean that up? What do we need to do? Do we need to implement concentration drills in training camp? Do we need to implement something during practice throughout the week? Then they need to start to look at the personnel. How do we get our offensive line like it was 5 years ago? We get a little bit older. Torrin Smith may not be there. How do we address that? Oh, Amari Cooper. Oh, may not be there. How do we move on from that? You start to look at certain things. Oh, we need to get better here in the secondary. Oh, well, maybe we need to get better over here. And you start to assimilate what can get you over the hump and put it together. That is how you do it. You don't go into a sheer all-out panic because the panic won't set in until Max Kellerman and Jay Will is back on the show in September and start to really bash at the Cowboys for being anointed an elite team again.
Can you please stop lumping me into this group that I've been bashing the Cowboys? I am not. I told you that I was pulling for Dak to actually play well.
I didn't say Dak. I said Cowboys.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. Fine.
I think Mike McCarthy is the perfect coach for this team. I never want him fired. Go ahead,
the
Jay.
Worst. So a couple of things, Key. Number one, you know, your OC, your DC, are you able to bring those guys back? I wonder what the confidence level is in Kellen Moore from a guy like Mike McCarthy and how that kind of factors out with Jerry Jones. So that's something to pay attention to with all these new job openings. Will they be able to keep these two on board with the way the offense and the defense both have grown? The defense in particular have grown from last year in the NFL to being mid of the pack, but still showing potential to be better. Then you got guys like Randy Gregory, Dalton Schultz, Michael Gallup, who's also injured, Jaron Kearse. Like, what do you do with these players that, you know, they were pivotal to your team in certain varieties? Do you try to bring these guys back? So I think just from a team completion perspective, there's a lot that you have to figure out on the ground first. Does that mean you agree with me, Key, or you disagree?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I was waiting. I was giving room for Max to breathe. I didn't know.
I would say that what McCarthy said to me that was interesting there was, I know how to win in this league. I know how to win playoff games in this league. I know how to win championship in this league. He's talking to his to the team through the media, right? Like, stay the course. I know what I'm doing. I believe there would be some people, because I'd be one of them if I were in that locker room, thinking, yeah, you knew how to win a championship way back when with Aaron Rodgers, but eventually you didn't know how to do that anymore and you lost your job. And we just got knocked out in the first round of a game we were making a comeback in because our quarterback and our center didn't know the rule, because our quarterback didn't execute correctly. And to me, that's preparation. So, Key, I hear what you're saying about Mike McCarthy. A head coach's job is a lot of stuff that someone like me doesn't know because I haven't lived it, right? And you do. I get it. And I'm not doubting that he's good at a lot of those things. But there are other key things where he may be lacking, especially if, even if it's the coordinators or what a position coaches, whatever else, it's on the players. In the end, when you see that kind of lack of execution and the lack of discipline in the moment of truth, buck stops with the head coach.
It could be a year of growth, though,
before we move on to Joe, Damon Woody was just on the show. You know, he's won a couple Super Bowls. You know that, right, Max?
Yep.
What did he say?
And what did he say? Who
he blamed
did he
the
say?
Players.
Okay.
And by the way, Jay, I mentioned at the time, Key won a Super Bowl. Damian Woody won two Super Bowls. The kind of people who win championships are oftentimes the people who say, no, buck stops with me. Don't look any further than me. They're able to look at themselves in the mirror, accept responsibility, good and bad, and work, right? So it doesn't surprise me that Key and D. Wood are like, the coach ain't out there. You guys are out there. I get it. But from a dispassionate analyst point of view, hey, I'm just looking at what's going on. I don't have to say, oh, take it. Yeah, it's on the players. It's also like Bill Belichick teams. It doesn't happen at the end of a game like that. Why not?
I mean, you can make that point for the players. I hear you on that, and I agree with that. I mean, that also should have been like a 20-point loss, though. Like,
it
became a lot closer because Jimmy G and company gave them opportunities to be in that game in the first place.
That's right. McCarthy's so sorry. They should have lost by 20, not one. But no. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's get to the team still actually in the playoffs.
Rex in studio. Who does Joe Burrow remind you of?
He reminds me of Tom Brady. Earlier in the season, I mentioned it, his mannerism, but his leadership, and in the biggest moments, this guy is the calmest, and he's got just a hired killer mentality, and that's what he reminds me of Tom Brady. And 10 years from now, we're going to say, this guy's the next Joe Burrow.
But who will be the next Joe Fortenbaugh? That's the question. Because the real Joe Fortenbaugh is with us right now. What's going on, Joe?
Not a question I think a lot of people are asking this morning, but I'm glad you are, Max. Thanks for having me, as always. How you guys doing?
We're doing good. Maybe not as good as you. We're going to get to our picks and house money in a few minutes. But, Joe, let's jump right into it with the games. Cincinnati at Tennessee. Tennessee is a 3.5-point favorite. The over-under is 47, but only 3.5 at home.
Yeah, this one's interesting because there were some books here in Las Vegas that opened this game, Tennessee minus 2.5, probably expecting a lot of Cincinnati money. They've been a public darling as of late, and it was nothing but Tennessee came flying out in terms of the money. It pushed it through the key number of 3 up to 3.5. No movement on the total so far from 47 to 47. Derrick Henry expected back. Keep in mind, Mike Vrabel has been an absolute beast when coming off a bye week. We always talk about Andy Reid with extra rest. Vrabel's 4-0 straight up, 4-0 against the spread, and beating the closing point spread by 19 points per game. Not winning by 19, covering the spread by 19 points per game. That's insane. Cincinnati shaky in the red zone last week, Key. 2 for 5 when they got down inside the 20, and that was against a bad Raiders red zone defense. Something to keep an eye on this week.
That is correct. You look at Cincinnati, though, with the awesome offensive playmakers that they have at the skill positions, including Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Mixon, along with Higgins and Boyd. The secondary of the Tennessee Titans is suspect. They can get their red zone problems fixed this weekend in Tennessee. I like Cincinnati to win this football game going away.
You see, Joe, I'm leaning towards Tennessee covering here, and I know that Joe Burrow is the hot guy. And Joe Mixon and that relationship he brings to the table with him and Ja'Marr Chase. But just hearing your stats about what he is ATS as far as Mike Vrabel against the spread, for people out there, we use acronyms for gambling, 4-0, coming off a bye week, that's pretty incredible. And controlling the clock, The run game was already established without Derrick Henry there. Limiting the amount of times and opportunities for Joe Burrow to make those credible passes, I'm starting to lean towards Tennessee covering here.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be the protection. Cincinnati's protection's got to be on. You got to give Burrow time. You know Vrabel's going to be coming after him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I think Cincinnati has a puncher's chance to win the Super Bowl, but it's a puncher's chance. They're not likely to do it. I still think they can upset Tennessee. San Francisco at Green Bay. Green Bay is favored by 6, though that first game was tight. Over-under 47. What do you think, Joe?
Think this one through. The public is going to be all over San Francisco. They saw the big win at Dallas last week. San Francisco's that team that everyone's highlighted as the who's the scariest team left in the playoffs? Who's the one team you wouldn't want to have to face? That's San Francisco right now. So why is it that they opened as a 4-point dog and the money flowed in on Green Bay and knocked it up to 6, right? The pros are playing Green Bay, and here's why. Number one, this is San Francisco's 6th road game in 8 weeks. 6th road game in 8 weeks, and they have to play this one on short rest. They played at Dallas on a Sunday. Now they got to play at Green Bay on a Saturday against the Packers team that's had 2 weeks to get ready for this game. Fred Warner's banged up. He's the MVP of the defense. Nick Bosa's coming off a concussion. And look at the Jimmy Garoppolo stats from the Dallas game. He was lighting them up right before the shoulder sprain, and afterwards he was a mess. He looks like he's going to play in this game, but with his shoulder sprain against Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau, I shudder to think. I know San Francisco has become this big darling, especially in the underdog role. Green Bay laying 6, that is a dangerous team to fade in the playoffs.
It is a dangerous team to fade in the playoffs. When you think about it, the 49ers are slightly banged up. You mentioned Jimmy Garoppolo. You mentioned Fred Warner. Nick Bosa's concussion. Their secondary isn't great. We know what the Green Bay Packers are on the offensive side of the ball at home in a hostile environment, cold weather, as that thing starts to dip in the second half. And imagine the fan base is there. There was no real fans in the stands last year when they played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the NFC Championship game and lost. That won't be the case against the 49ers. The 49ers are traveling to Milwaukee, which is a long distance on a short rest. I think they lose this game. They fly all the way back to San Francisco.
All right, Joey, Los Angeles at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay 3-point favorite over and under 48.5.
Bucks open minus 2.5. Most shops have moved up to 3 with some Tampa money coming in, but you're seeing a lot of people get very interested in the Rams at plus 3. Total went from 48 to 48.5, so not a lot of movement there. These two met in LA back in week 3, which feels like a decade ago. Rams won that game 34-24. Tampa Bay gets a little extra rest. They played on a Sunday. They're at home. Rams play on Monday night. They got to travel across the country, so that's something to keep in mind. Tampa at home this season has been lights out. 8-1 straight up, 7-2 against the spread. They're outscoring the opposition in those games by 16 points per game. They have dropped the hammer on people. L.A., I think a lot of people are going to want to play L.A. because we just watched them Monday night and they housed the Cardinals. Number one, the Cardinals were woefully underprepared for that football game. Cliff Kingsbury did an abysmal job. Number two, the Rams were able to get the running game going, which was huge because it covered up some of the inconsistencies from Matthew Stafford. You're not going to have that luxury against Tampa Bay, who ranks top 3 in run defense. Mm-hmm. They limit what you do. Stafford's going to have to make plays, and he's going to have to outduel Tom Brady on his home turf. Keep that in mind for everyone jumping all over the Rams.
Well, listen, Tom Brady's no Justin Herbert under pressure. That's what the numbers say, clearly, and he will be under pressure. I like the Rams here.
Go ahead, Keith. Go with your breakdown. Go, give us your breakdown, Keith. Get in there.
If I'm allowed to. Tampa Bay Buccaneers are in for it, I think, in this football game. When you look at the front of the Los Angeles Rams, no Christian Worth in this big-time tackle, all-pro protecting Hall of Fame quarterback in Brady. He's not in this game. When you look at it, Brady's missing a lot of the same weapons that he faced the Rams with earlier in the season, and we all know what happened in that football game. If they allow the Rams to tee off on Tom Brady, it's going to be a long night for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm taking the Rams.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Bucs in this one. And I know that what we saw Cam Akers and Sonny Michel do against the Cardinals, and I agree with you, Joe, was something that people were like, wow, you know, Cam Akers takes so much time off and he looks so bouncy and so back. But knowing that rush defense for Tampa Bay, like I think that defensive line is going to hold up. And this is going to be a battle between quarterbacks. I agree with you, Joe, and I'm going to err on the side of Tom Brady to make quick decisions, and guys like Von Miller, they're not going to be able to get to him as quickly because of his decision-making.
So, yeah, I'm with Key on this one. Rather, he's with me. You heard me say it first. Joe Fortenbaugh.
Ooh, this is the game, Joe. This is the game, Joe.
The best one, Buffalo at Kansas City. It was a 2-point favorite at home. Can Buffalo beat them twice at Arrowhead in the same season? Over-under is 54.5, Joe.
So Kansas City opens as a 2-point favorite. Some shops have moved down to 1.5, so it has been Buffalo money. Keep an eye on this total. It did open as high as 55. It has ticked down a bit to 54.5. That feels like a pros versus Joe's divide waiting to happen this weekend, where the pros side towards the under and the public's going to be all over the over because they believe it's two high-powered offenses, two great quarterbacks, and that it's going to be a shootout. It very well could be, but that total coming down early in the week says something to me, so be very careful, though. With that one, Buffalo really flipped the switch. We all talked about this last week. Week 14, something happened in that locker room in Tampa Bay at halftime. They're trailing the Bucs 24-3. They come all the way back to tie it up at 27. They lose the game in overtime. Since then, they ripped off 5 straight wins by an average of 18 points per game. They have the better defense coming into this matchup. They can score plenty of points in this game. They've been to Arrowhead Stadium before in the playoffs last year in the AFC Championship game. I don't think the weather or the crowd noise is going to be anything that affects these guys. I can see why the number's ticking down. I can see why people like Buffalo in this spot. If you are going to get over the hump, this is the team you have to do it against. You are the better team coming into this game, in my opinion. I'm leaning the Buffalo here.
If you think about the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs, Kansas City, I've never known under Andy Reid for Kansas City to lose 2 games in a season to the same team at home. That would be new to me. And at the end of the day, Patrick Mahomes is on fire. I understand Buffalo took care of business against an undermanned New England Patriot team with a bad quarterback in that situation. This is not the same. It's Patrick Mahomes. I'm rolling KC.
All right, let's get the house money, guys. Everybody except for Max lost money last week. So Joe still has 46-40. Max has 32-75. Jay has 38-90. And Key has $16. So in
hey Evan, we should explain it's different amounts because we started.
Sure, everybody started with different amounts. Max started with 30. Joe started with 50. Jay started with 40, and Key started with $20 based on how they finished in the regular season. So moving through this, Key, you got $16. You start us off. What are you spending it on?
I'm going to spend $5 on the Kansas City Chiefs to cover. I'm going to take another $5. And spend it on the Green Bay Packers to cover. That's all I got for you.
Max?
I'm going to take $5 and put it on the Packers to win. I'm going to put $5 on, on the Rams to win.
Okay, I'm going to take $10 for the Packers to cover. I'm going to take $5 for the Bucks to cover. And then I'm going to take $5 for Tennessee to cover.
I'm going to throw something out there.
Wait, Joe, can I buy a half a point for the Tennessee? Can I buy half a point?
Buy a half a point?
What? Yeah, Key.
You're going to have to talk to Evan about that,
okay.
I'm sure.
Okay, all right.
Which, by the way, let me throw something out there. I was talking to them before I jumped on with you guys. Evan's a worse accountant than the guys at Enron, okay? Every week there's some sort of misaccounting. So if any of you are feeling like you're being cheated, there's a really good chance you are.
It works out. Hey, Joe, were you being cheated this week, or did I, you know, maybe push a little in your favor, huh?
I had to let you know that I did that. I went 1-2, not 2-1.
Yeah, well, you know, it all works out throughout the entire course of the season.
It evens out, huh? Yeah. Like referees' mistakes.
It's like your baseball card.
I'm not sure about that.
At the end of the season, everybody's baseball card is what their averages.
It comes out a wash.
I'll give you 3. All of them are going to be risk $3.30 to win $3. Trying to demonstrate some proper bankroll management here.
That,
Packers minus 6. When it comes to the Niners, like I said, 6 road game in 8 weeks. The Garoppolo injury worries me. I like Green Bay rested there. Tennessee minus 3.5. This feels like a big step up in class for Cincy. This essentially feels like Buffalo at Arrowhead last year against the Chiefs. You've got a physical, well-respected, lots of playoff experience team in Tennessee hosting that little darling that's on the rise, and then they get the rude wake-up call here. I think that's going to happen. Tennessee minus 3.5. And then I will take the Bills plus 2. I was looking at the money line, but the plus 110 versus minus 110, this could be tightly contested. I'd rather have the 2 points in my pocket.
That is Joe Fortenbaugh, ladies and gentlemen.
Good
years
luck, Joe.
From now,
not
we're
really,
going to be asking, who's the next Joe Fortenbaugh? Appreciate it, Joe.
Guys with Joe are killing the game.
Devin right keeps the accounting proper. Maybe they're asking that. Otherwise, I might just end up in the poorhouse. But it's always a pleasure, boys. Have a great show.
All right,
yeah, Evan keeps that up the same way. Who was the first Joe Fortenbaugh?
I keep that up. I'm going to end up in the big house.
Nope.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
For me, John Robinson, their GM, the executive of the year. Mike Vrabel is clearly coach of the year. They've had a remarkable year.
I think they match up really well with the Bengals. Christian Fulton went against Jamar Chase every day at LSU. Jack Rabbit Jenkins, a feisty little corner. So I think that's a really good matchup. Joe Burrow gets sacked a lot.
Jeff Fisher, former Titans and Rams head coach, with us now. Good morning, coach.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
What's good, up, Coach? Jeff, man?
Key, how you doing?
Good,
been a while.
Man. It's been a, that's what I was going to say. It's been a long, long time. How you been?
I've been really good, thanks. Yeah, just staying busy, watching some ball like you guys, and kind of looking forward to the weekend. But everything's going good.
Max and Jay, you know.
Go ahead,
Jeff.
No, I get an opportunity. I'm honored. I'm going to work with the NFLPA and my coach, the All-Star Game, Pasadena, next week. Come out and see us. Marvin Lewis is coaching one side, I'm coaching the other, and we're going to give some young guys a feel and a sense for what it's like to have a shot to play in the NFL. So it'll be a good week of ball.
Max and Jay, you know I've been knowing Jeff for about 43 years of my life. Mm. I used to hold his helmet and shoulder pads when I was a kid and walk him to the locker room.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, he got – so I walked back to my apartment on campus at USC and opened the door, and there's this little dude ripping through my refrigerator. I go, what are you doing? Who are you? He says, I'm Keyshawn. He goes, I'm hungry. No, really, that's not where it started. Yeah. So the funny part was, I think that one of the best stories, because I'm sure there's other things to talk about, but Keyshawn's at the combine, and he's going through the interview process. And, you know, it might have been Tennessee Oilers, I think. We hadn't become the Titans yet. And he just kind of sticks his head in there for a quick little hey and says hi. And our GM, Floyd Reese, rest his soul, says, so I understand you two guys go way back. And Keyshawn says, yeah. I used to carry Jeff's, he didn't say stuff, but you know what I mean. So I used to carry Jeff's stuff around on campus when he was at SC, and he said, now he's going to carry my stuff around. So that was the length of his interview going to the draft with us. But, yeah, we go back.
Yeah, no, we go way back. And speaking of going back, you coached the Titans and you coached the Rams, Jeff. Of these two teams, which one has impressed you the most as of right now?
Well, when we go back to the Titans-Rams game the week after they lost the Big Back and what the Titans did out here, obviously it was a wake-up call for both teams because the Rams realized that you need to show up week after week with the physical part of your game, and I didn't think they brought that, and that's the way the Titans are, and I think it was a great wake-up call for the Rams. The Titans proved that they could go out and find ways to win, you know, without 22. And so I think that was a game. And I remember I had some buddies on that staff and in the organization. I remember sending a text over. I said, hey, tell those coaches to keep those game plans handy because they may need them in February. So, you know, it's interesting how, you know, how both teams have progressed since that time. But just, you know, really impressed with what Sean's got going there. I think looks like things are clicking. And, you know, it's good to see, you know, OBJ making some plays outside because that was kind of the thing. I mean, missing Robert and everything. You guys talk about it all the time, I'm sure. But it looks like he's settled into that offense. So, the other side, go to the Titans. I mean, they're built well. They're very, very physical, as you know. And, you know, they've had a week off. And, you know, they're gonna give Cincinnati everything they can handle this coming weekend. So don't be surprised if you get another, you know, obviously if that, this happens and you got Buffalo coming into Nashville for the second time.
Coach, you mentioned OBJ. They made a bunch of acquisitions, the Rams, even in the season, right? But they really pushed their chips to the middle of the table, two firsts and a third and number one overall pick for Stafford. And then they, you know, a second and a third for Von Miller, and they bring in OBJ, and they had to bring in Sony Michel because of the injury to Cam Akers, and Cam Akers comes back. And they all seem to be contributing. Do you think that was like the Rams' acquisitions were the right thing to strike while the iron's hot? Was it right for them to push all their chips to the middle of the table at this point?
You know, I don't disagree with anything that they did. It's all about now for them. And there's no, you know, from a standpoint of, you know, putting this looking at the future and sustaining this thing, they have shown that they'll do it, you know, every year with a plan that we don't have any idea of what they're doing, but they do it. So it's their philosophy is all about now, and you know, obviously this is a place to exercise that option, if you will, year after year. So, you know, I don't disagree with anything they did. They look good. They're playing really well. You know, I mean, you know, the 49ers are going to be the 49ers, and they're going to give people problems whoever they play. But consistently, I think the Rams have done the right thing. It's good to see these people contributing. But, you know, hey, it's a one game year. It's a one game league, man. So they're going to have to put it all together down south of Tampa Bay. That's for sure.
Jeff Fisher, former Titans and Rams head coach. Jeff, I wanted to ask you, what's more important to this team right now, their defense or Matthew Stafford?
I
know both are important in the big scheme.
Take one of them away. I mean, I'd look at it this way. Just take one aspect away. And what do you have? You don't have a playoff team. So, you know, I think you can overcome. You got. Obviously, do the numbers. You got 15 guys or 18 guys contributing on the defense. You can lose one, take Matthew out. You got problems. But look at it that way. But everybody's going to, at this time of year, everybody's going to have to play well. You just don't get, you know, you don't get a break. You don't get a week off or a day off at this time of year.
Jeff, I want to ask you real quick. Do you want to get back in it? Do you want to be a head coach again or maybe a DC?
You know, I've had a lot of inquiries regarding coordinating defense. I have interest in getting back in. I think as time goes on, the options are become less and less. That's just the nature of the game. But I don't have intention of going back in coordinating and working my way, back up into an opportunity that way again. You know, I enjoy what I'm doing. I'm enjoying it. What happens in life, man, is we bust our rear ends to get to a point where you want to be able to do things in life. It's just kind of like that. I don't want to call it retirement, but, you know, for example, I enjoy Montana. I've got a place up there I've had since the 90s, and you know, it wasn't until a few years ago until I saw it for the first time in the fall ever. You know, so I'm enjoying what I'm doing. Yes, I have interest, and do I think I can do it? Oh, absolutely. I'm watching this, you know, every weekend and watching stuff go on, and I think ownership by and large in the National Football League needs to take a look at what they're doing and how they're doing it, because it's hard for me to watch, franchises change head coaches every couple of years over and over and over again. And you see what happens, where Cleveland, for over a decade, it just was Cleveland. And now you got teams out there in the National Football League that are on the verge of becoming the old Cleveland, where it was just turnover and turmoil and no direction. So, appreciate you, the question, but, again, as time goes on, the opportunities that they seem, few or far between. But I'm good with that. I had a great run, and I have great memories from, based on what I did, and met great people and had success and moved two franchises and all that. So, I'm blessed to be in the position where I'm at right now.
That's Jeff Fisher, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for jumping on this morning with us, Coach.
All right, Jeff.
I appreciate the opportunity, guys.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
When you know your gardeners come at a certain time and a certain day, and then other people's gardeners are there when you try to take a nap, and they there for like 30 minutes making noise loud. I'm talking loud. Lawnmowers.
Very relatable. I know everyone out there going, I hate it. I know for one, I hate it when the gardeners, my neighbor's gardeners come to. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
All y'all gonna get fired messing with me.
What you talking about?
Because they're trying to set me up, make it sound like I'm a 1%. When y'all got 5-6 acres of lawn to be mowed, y'all want to make it seem like I'm just a 1%er guy
you
here.
You were the one who came out.
Yeah, you
said
told the story, not us.
That when your gardeners, gardeners are waking you and up from your nap.
And then Max tries to do the little voice, the champagne and caviar voice.
Well, Max lives in the city, you know what I mean?
Keyshawn Johnson.
Lives in the city, but ask him where he goes on the weekends. That ain't the city.
He shows up at parties. Lady and Mr. Johnson are here.
if I went to a party like that, do something to me, man. If I show up at a party like that, you have I'll let you do whatever you want to do to me.
Want to talk to you on the radio, that's all. All right. LeBron James, he plays forward for the Lakers, sometimes center, sometimes guard, actually.
More so center.
I don't know if you heard
about him. And he's a general manager slash
team owner. And a general manager and coach in a way, yeah.
Trying to be team owner.
He's at the press conference being asked, in his capacity as GM, about his coach's job.
I'm not in that business of pointing fingers or pointing blame or trying to put a quote at the end or at the start of somebody's someone's commentator of what they feel, our coaching staff or Frank is or where Russ is or where I'm at or AD If it's not positive for me, it's not my lane. I'm not a negative person. If you got something to ask me besides trying to body iron skills.
Like, I'm not about stirring anything. I'm about solutions. Like, that's what I hear LeBron saying. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say, well, it's our coaching, or I'm going to throw my coach under the bus. I'm going to throw my general manager under the bus. He's sitting there saying, no, we have to find answers. And that's how I'll answer this question to the media.
Yeah, he's not about that. He's about firing them, then coming out saying, look, I'm not the GM. LeBron has a lot of power in the organization.
Of course
he is, because he's one of the greatest players of all time, and he's still excellent. He's been playing insanely great recently.
But I don't need to tell the media that.
Right. Key, you like it, huh? You like him tamping down the negativity, huh?
Of course. Who doesn't? Nobody wants to hear that mess.
Well,
germ spreaders, man.
That's the business you're in now, and the key to you. We're back tomorrow,
the
guys.
The key to you. That kills me.
With Hall of Famers Ronnie Lott and Derrick Brooks. Now, let me tell you something. The easiest thing to do in the world is nothing. Passively sit there and let the radio wash over. Greeny is next. We'll be back tomorrow, KJM.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.